कुंज विहारी जय राधा माधवा कुंज विहारी उपिशन वल्ल
Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki, His Khan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki, Raj Granth Srimad Bhagavatam Ki, Sri Hari Nam Sankirtan Ki, Sanatahi Kohuda Primanandi. Glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ninth Canto, Chapter 3, Text Number 12. 12. It's number, we did number 11 already. This is text 12. Graham Grishye Somasya Yagnevan Apya Somapo Kritayam Me Vayorupam Pamadanam Ya Ipsitam Graham Grahishe Somasya Yagnevam Apya Somapo Kriyatam Me Vayorupam Pramadhanam Yar Ipsitam Graham Grahishe Somasya Yagnavam Apya Somapo Kriyatam Me Vayorupam Pramadhanam Ya Ipsitam. Sorry, Graham, a full pot. Grahishye, I shall give. Somasya, of Soma Rasa. Yagne, in sacrifice. Vam, of both of you. Api, although. Asomapo, of you two who are not eligible to drink somarasa. Kriyatam, just execute. Me, my. Vaya, young age. Rupam, beauty of a young man. Pamadanam, of woman as a class. Yet, which is ipsitam, desirable. Translation. Chaivana Muni said, although you are ineligible to drink somarasas and sacrifice, I promise to give you a full pot of it. Kindly arrange beauty and youth for me, because they are attractive to young women. Bhatam ya yuchatur vipra Bhatam ityu chatur vipram Abhanaram vivaksatam Nimajanam bhavam asmin Ridrade siddha vinirmite. Translation. The great physicians, the Aswini Kumaras, very gladly accepted Chaivan Muni's proposal. Thus they told the Brahmana, just dive into this lake of successful life. One who bathes in this lake has his desires fulfilled. Text 14. Ikyukta jara grasta deho dhamani santataha Radham praveshito svibhyam vali palita vigraha. After saying this, the Aswini Karmaras caught hold of Chaivan Muni, who was an old, diseased invalid with loose skin, white hair, and veins all over his body, and all three of them entered the lake. Purport. Chaivan Muni was so old that he could not enter the lake alone. Thus, the Aswini Kumaras caught hold of his body, and the three of them entered the lake. Text 15. Purushastraya uktastur apivyavanita priyaha patmasrajam kundalinas tuyarupam suvasavaha. Thereafter, the three men were very beautifully bodily features emerged from the lake. They were nicely dressed and decorated with earrings and garlands of lotuses. All of them were of the same standard of beauty. Text 16.
Tanniriksha vararoham sarupam soya varjasaha ajanati patin sadvi asvino saranam yayo.
The chaste and very beautiful Sukanya could not distinguish her husband from the two Aswini Kumaras, for they were equally beautiful. Not understanding who her real husband was, she took shelter of the Aswini Kumaras. Purport. Sukanya could have selected any one of them as her husband, for one could not distinguish among them. But because she was chaste, she took shelter of the Aswini Kumaras, so that they could inform her of her actual husband. A chaste woman will never accept any man other than her husband, even if there is someone equally as handsome and qualified.
Magyanti mirandasya gyananjana salakaya chaksurun militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha
sri chaitanya manovistam stapitam yena bhutalai Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadanti Swam Padantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pranityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasani Gaur Bhaktivinam Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare Chaivan Muni, he has a young wife, but he's old and invalid, and he's not very appealing to his wife. So he wants to create or change his body into a young, beautiful man, so he'll be attracted to, he'll be attracted for his young wife, whose name was Sukanya. So here he's commissioning the Aswini Kumaras, who are the transcendental physicians within the demigods. They are the AMA of the higher planets. And they have this power that they can transport a person's body into something other than it is. Of course, the body is just the dress of the living entity. The living entity is the soul within the body. Nanyate hanyamani sarire tehino sminyata dehe govaram yovaram jara tata dehantara prakir dirastata nambuyanti. We are not these bodies, and we find here in this section that the body, even if it's old and invalid, can be changed. A man can change into a woman can change into a man, as we just read from the previous chapter. And also, it's explained that the body can be changed from, we have a situation from young to old, from old to young, like that. So the body is mutable, and of course people in the material world simply live for the satisfaction and gratification of the body. So here we find that Chaivan Muni is attached to his wife and wants to please his wife by becoming a young man. Why are all these stories being given? Why in Srimad Bhagavatam so much emphasis on the body in different situations? Ultimately, we find in these different stories that they lead up ultimately to frustration, and then one takes to Krishna consciousness. Ultimately, the bodily conception of life is the basic cause of suffering. Based on that bodily conception of life, there are so many problems. Pumsam strinamituni bhava metam tayor vitur
Hridaya Granti Ahur, Atogriha Shetar Sutapta Vitaya Janasa Moham Yamaham Lameti. It's explained by Sri Rishabhdev in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that the attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material society. Based on this misconception, he calls it, the hearts of the knot, men and women become tied together like a hard knot. It's a hard knot within the heart. And because of that, then one starts to think in terms of body, wealth, home, family, possessions, children. The list goes on. And Janasa Moham Yama Mahama Meti, the final line of the verse says, then one ultimately becomes illusioned, thinking I and mine. So the basic principle of material life is the attraction between man and woman. And when that, as soon as that begins, it extends itself into unlimited areas of attractions and illusions. One works very hard, one endeavors so much to accumulate, acquire home, possessions, job, wealth, so many things based on this principle. Therefore, in order to become free from this entanglement of material energy, one must be free from the attraction of the opposite sex. This attraction to the opposite sex is the cause of all suffering. From that extends so many other problems. It's explained that one can be free from the attraction to the opposite sex even if one is not performing devotional service. One can attain to the planet of Brahmaloka, the highest planet in the material world, simply by remaining free from that attraction, or simply by becoming celibate. And that's not even performing devotional service. So the power of renunciation, giving up the attraction of the attachment to the opposite sex, has immense benefits. And it relieves one from so much suffering. The sex desire is like an itch. Srila Prabhupada called it an itch. And when you have an itch, what do? You scratch it. And after you relieve that scratching for some time, the itch goes away. But then it comes back again. And you can scratch it again. And then it comes back. But each time it comes back, it usually comes back more severe. So the idea is to leave it alone, and then it will go away. So in the same way, this desire for sense gratification, sex life, attraction to the opposite sex, is like an itch. And sometimes that scratching becomes so severe that blood comes out. Excessive scratching. So the same way, this attraction to the opposite sex is there. And there will be some itch. But one should ignore it. One should go on with their spiritual life and execute Krishna consciousness nicely. Because this material world is like one big trap. The more you get involved with the material world, the more complicated and the more suffering comes. Spiritual life is simple life. Spiritual life is easy life. Material life is complicated, difficult, hard struggle. The word is apavarga. Is that a person works so hard for money. And sometimes they work so hard, it's explained that just like a horse, when he runs, he becomes so exhausted that foam comes from his mouth. A person works so hard day and night just to secure money, and he becomes like mad for money, and he becomes so exhausted working that sometimes people come back from work, all they can do is have something to eat and go to sleep. That's all. They work so hard or so tired And then they get up the next day and do the same thing again. So why work hard? Simply for sense gratification. Nayam deho deho bhajam nirlokam kastan kama arati vidbhujanje tupo divyam bhutakadenit sadvam sudyedyasmam brahma sokyam twanantam. This is the first verse in the prayers by Lord Vrishabdev, in which he explains that, my dear sons, he has 100 sons, he's talking to them. He says, in this human form of life, it's a very rare opportunity to have a human body. And therefore, one should not work hard for sense gratification day and night, which is simply available to the hogs and dogs which eat stool. Tapo divyam putra kadyena sattvam. One should perform penances and austerities in order to attain the divine nature. And by such achievement, one can ultimately enter into the kingdom of God. And he also explains that this happiness, Brahma Sakyam, spiritual happiness, transcends anything, any material happiness, and continues forever. Material happiness is just nothing, and then it ends. Spiritual happiness is superior, and it continues forever by performing a little austerity. What is that austerity? Renunciation of sense gratification. A renunciation from the attraction to the opposite sex. As soon as we become attracted to the opposite sex, all our problems begin. That's why they say, brahmachari, or celibate life, is easy life. There's some austerity there. There's some difficulty. But it cannot be compared to the difficulty that one undergoes by accepting a position in the material world. People have to work so hard just for what? Just for a little flickering pleasure that comes and goes. It's here today and gone tomorrow. And this pleasure, what does it do? It simply brings about so much suffering. Yehi samsparsa ja bhoga dukkha yoniya evate avanta vanta kunti anateshu ramate bhutam. And that sense gratification is the source of all suffering. And the more pleasure that one derives from sense gratification, the more suffering one attains. Just like, what is the highest form of pleasure in the material world? Sex life. So the suffering that comes by way of sex life is the most severe form of suffering. Just like we see, what is the results of sex life? Unwanted children, abortion, broken homes, mistreatment of each other, and ultimately sometimes violence. We find every situation there's only some, as long as there is sense gratification, there is some kind of suffering. So one should be intelligent and not be attracted by the ephemeral beauty of this world in the form of the opposite sex. But the whole world is attracted to that. And all the propaganda, all the billboards, all the newspapers, all the advertisement, everything is saying, you know, this is where your happiness lies. And so that is what is called materialistic society. They know nothing but sex, that's all. And when they can't get happiness from that, they take to intoxication and some form of perverted activity. That's all. That is the material world. So simply by stopping this one attraction, the attraction for the opposite sex, one can relieve unlimited amounts of pain and suffering. Unlimited. But at the same time, we have to be attracted to something. Therefore, the scriptures say, become attracted to Krishna. That same desire to fulfill one's happiness in the form of the opposite sex, when it's directed towards Krishna, it becomes purified. Lust is simply a perverted reflection of our natural love for Krishna. And as that love is reawakened, one ultimately becomes attracted to Krishna in a very real way. So through chanting the holy name, through performing devotional service, through everything about Krishna is wonderful. And the more that that attraction for Krishna is cultivated, the more we lose that attraction for the opposite sex or the things of this world. And that is the key to success in spiritual life. As soon as the living entity gets entangled with this material world in the form of the opposite sex, all one's problems begin. They begin and they don't end. That is material life. So therefore, it is explained that simply by this cultivation of renunciation, giving up the desire for sense gratification, and using one's consciousness in order to develop the attraction for Krishna. Krishna is so attractive. Nothing can compare to the attraction of Krishna. There's one story about one great devotee who was a follower of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya used to worship one deity whose name was... What was the name of his deity? So, deity in South India. Anyone remember the deity of Ramanujacharya? It was a Vishnu deity. He was big deity. He used to lay down. Can't think of his name. Beautiful deity. It's in South India still today. Anyway, that was his personal deity. And every year they used to have a festival celebrating one occasion. So there was one man who would come every year and he would bring his wife. He was a very rich, educated man, and his wife was very, very beautiful. And he would come to these festivals and he would carry an umbrella over the head of his wife to shade her from the sun. And he would be constantly looking at her. He would be constantly looking at her. He was so attracted to her that he couldn't look at anything else. So the devotees that were at the festival, they were getting a little disturbed with this man. Why is he just simply staring at his wife all the time? So they brought the attention to Ramanujacharya. So he came and he started speaking with the man, and the man said, "Oh yes." He started to glorify his wife. He said, "My wife, she is so beautiful. Have you ever seen eyes with such beauty and such attraction as this?" Ramanujacharya said, "Yes, not only that, I've seen eyes that are more beautiful than that." He said, "More beautiful?" Ramanujacharya said, "If I can show you eyes that are more beautiful than that, will you give up looking at those eyes?" And he challenged him. He said, "Yes, I accept your challenge, but I don't believe there are any more beautiful eyes anywhere than what I am seeing in my wife." So he brought him to the temple and he showed him that deity. I can't remember the name. Huh? Padmanabh? No. Name is Deity, South India. Yeah. Ranganath. Oh, okay, thank you. Deity of Ranganath. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. So he showed him the beautiful eyes of Ranganath. And this man became so overwhelmed with attraction. And he actually really became attracted in a very, very deep way. I think Ranganath gave a special mercy to this man. And this man agreed that actually Ranganath's eyes were more beautiful than his wife's. And both of them ultimately became devotees. Not only devotees, but they became very sincere devotees of Ramanujacharya, where they did so much wonderful service for Ramanujacharya. that he was very pleased, and they were one of his best Grihastha couples that he had in amongst all his Vaishnava devotees. In fact, they were even more advanced than many of his brahmacharis and sannyasis. So that was that one story where this man was so attracted to his wife, and when he saw the beautiful beauty of the Lord, he lost his attraction for his wife. In the same way, Krishna is there. Krishna comes in unlimited forms. And Krishna has so many opulences. One of his opulences is his beauty. In fact, for the devotees, the opulence of beauty supersedes all the other opulences of Krishna. We're not attracted to Krishna so much by his other opulences as we are by his beauty. Because Krishna appears every day in the form of the deity. And the deity is Krishna. The deity is not different than Krishna. So when Krishna comes, decorated so nicely with his consort Srimati Radharani, appearing in various forms and manifestations, we become, just by looking at the deity, our hearts and minds become completely attracted. And Krishna is there. Krishna is there. But if we have attraction for the things of this world, especially for the form of the opposite sex, then we really can't become fully educated in the attraction of Krishna. Why? Because that compete, Krishna has to be exclusive. The more when he is exclusive, he gives his mercy more and more and more. And what is the attraction to this material world in the form of the opposite sex? It is simply an illusion, because what is that attraction? It's simply a piece of skin. Beneath it, there's so many bad substances. Right? And what is this body made out of? Blood, pus, stool, urine, mucus, bone, marrow, semen. So many wonderful... If you were to have a look at any of these items without, you know, separately, you would say, God, this is horrible. Right? That's the stuff you flush down the toilet or wash down the drain. Hair. So, and then it's covered by a thin layer of skin. And that thin layer of skin has the whole creation intoxicated. Isn't Krishna's Maya so wonderful? Krishna said, just see my form of the power of my Maya in the form of a woman can simply attract even the greatest of all conquerors. Alexander the Great conquered practically the whole world, but he was conquered by a woman. So in the same way, that attraction to Maya in the form of a woman is ultimately the major obstacle in one's spiritual life. It is said that a man's body, this is from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, a man's body is designed for self-realization, and a woman's body is designed to distract a man from self-realization. That is in Srimad Bhagavatam. So we have to be aware of the attraction of Maya in the form of a woman. It is simply an illusion. Ultimately, and that is called Maya. They call it Maya Sukhaya, the promise of happiness. But as soon as you get pulled into that, you find there's so many problems, so many difficulties. So we have to become attracted to Krishna. Chant his name, engage in devotional service, see the beautiful forms. Just by coming and seeing the form of the deity, that is a form of devotional service. It's called... What is that? Just seeing the deity is a type of devotional service. I can't remember the name of it, but it's mentioned. That is devotional service. Not even doing any seva, just by seeing that the deity in the proper consciousness, of course. And that is considered to be an act of devotion. Krishna comes simply to attract our minds and hearts. You see, you go to other temples, sometimes there's no deity. All they have is some pictures of some yogis or some, you know, some guy on a wall or something. Or they have some, you know, statues that are just like there with no decorations on it. Because they have no understanding of God. But in Krishna consciousness, Krishna is coming in his personal form. And there are so many stories. The deity's talking, the deity's walking, the deity's eating. So many things. The deity sometimes even leaves. The deity is Krishna, and Krishna comes in this wonderful way. So if we become attracted to Krishna, then we can lose our attraction for these things. But we have to be able to see beyond the initial attraction. We should not be mesmerized by the forms of this world. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego make up the material energy. Arranged in a certain way creates a specific form. Once that arrangement is changed, forms change also. That beautiful young girl or boy who's living now will be an old, worn out bag. Right? Because here we have, right in this particular section here, Chaivan Muni's body was diseased and invalid. He had loose skin, white hair, and veins all over his body.